Yes, sir.
And he was, and he told me, all right, he is coming. So before he got to me, he found another one in the home. And he said, where's the big one? I said, come on over here and let's get mine, then we'll go back by and get it. And he had the pole and I had the drill rod and the gun. And he had to stick that pole down there and touch that alligator. And when you do that, you better stay there. Oh. You don't, he'll come out and go home. So he come over there and it took us, I reckon, half an hour to get to one I was at, out in Skinny. Went back, the time I walked up there, I saw where that old alligator come out and left. And we trailed that thing a half a mile. And finally went in another cave and we got him. I told him, don't you ever play with alligator till you intend to get him.
You followed him a half a mile?
Yeah.
You just lake, see where he slides
lake,
along?
Lake was down low, and where they go through that grass, they leave a good open trail. You just get in there and follow right on.
And anywhere he could go, you could go?
Yeah. Until he got to a touch. If he went under that, you couldn't. You'd have to get up on top and try to feel around and find him. We went down to the island one morning. We hadn't walked out in the lake 500 yards, and I saw what was a big one playing around there. There were two tusks, and they was about 6 feet apart, I reckon. But I knew you had to be one, you know, under one or the other. And then over this way, there's a pretty good sized pool. And we finally found him, and Henry started jigging with the drill rod, and he wouldn't come up. But finally, run him from his tusk over to where tusk I was on. This tusk would hold you up. But before you ever run him out from that, I've always heard that alligator couldn't bite anything sticking straight down, but the can. He got that drill rod, which was a half inch piece of iron. And he just almost made a corkscrew out of it. We got it out and put it on the drill. Always carry a hatchet with you. Hatchet and a shotgun and your wet rock and your skinning knife. And he got the drill rod straightened out. He run and finally run him over under the tusk where I was on. And he had to pull down under that jugging him. I had the drill rod. So finally he bit it. And Henry tried to pull him out, and he couldn't budge him. So I run around and got on the tusk with him, and both of us couldn't pull him out. Yeah, so he must be a big one. You pull this pole tight, and I'm going to make him turn loose. And I got back there, and I started jigging him just as hard as I could. Finally, he broke loose, and when the nose come up, it looked like it was about that wide. And if I had known it, I don't know how we'd ever got him out, but we could have captured that gator and got $100 for it. And he'd come up and come out, and I'd shot him. And Henry was always a big hand. Pull him on out, you know, and if it was at the tusk, he'd pull him out and put him up on the tusk, ready to skin. Time I got there. He couldn't even get this alligator's head up on the tusk. He said, now what you gonna do? I said, well, we killed him. We got to skin him. And we both tried, and we couldn't pull him up on the tusk. And we was both smoking Prince Albert then, and I said, you better put your tobacco on matches and papers where it won't get wet. And I just jumped over, and then we got him sideways up to the tusk and just rolled him over like he would a barrel. And that thing was 14 feet and 2 inches long. And after we got him skinned, I could lay down on his hide, and he could wrap me up, and there's that much alligator skin there. I often wish I'd have saved his old head. I believe, honestly, I believe his jaws are that long. And I don't know that some people claim to grow a foot a year, but I bet you that alligator was 25 years old or more.
Now, Henry was pretty supple when it come to doing those things.
Strong men, yes, sir.
But he was a little too quick.
Yeah, and he didn't. A lot of times he didn't use judgment. He got in too big a hurry. I know another foolish thing we did out there one day. we found a large one, and there's a pretty good sized little pool out in front of the cave. And he had dug so deep, you see, they don't go straight down, they go down a piece and go off. And it was clay and we couldn't drill right, so we fooled around and I had about 18-foot pole. I just got down and I couldn't feel no gate and the hole went right on. So I said, well, I'm going to find him. And I had old, what we call a hog string, and it's a piece of bed taken about 2.5 feet long. And I tied this gator pole onto the end of it. I tied my drill rod onto the end of the gator pole. And I jugged it down and working back and forth. Drill rod was about 7 feet long. And the darn gator pole come off. Well, there we were, way out there in the middle of the lake, nothing to do. Couldn't hunt anymore without that gator pole horn. Finally, I stood up there and I said, I'm going to get that gator pole. And he said, how are you going to do it? I'm going down there and get it. And I said, you stand here and if anything happens, you get me by my foot and pull me back out. And I went down in that gator hole and got that pole and pulled it back out. I wouldn't do that again. That old gator was way back there. We never did get it. But finally this, I believe it was Horace Burris, went out that night and shined the light and killed it. It was another great big one.
Was Horace a pretty good hunter?
Yeah. I think Horace did most of his hunting at night, though. And long towards the last when he got so scared. And that's something I never did know how to do. I never could understand. They'd go out there and find one on Orange Lake, see where he'd go down and go there, harpoon him. And he'd use air sled. And you'd have your harpoon with a eye in it on a rope. But it'd also have a place where you could stick it on your pole. And you'd go there and get right over at the gate and keep on fooling around. You'd find you got a harpoon down there and then jerk your pole out where you had your line, a long line there. And you'd get that line and work him around until he's kind of tired and pull him up where he'd shoot. And his wife has went with him on a lot of occasions like that. Mm. I didn't think that was any place for a woman.
Mm-hmm. But she liked
it. Yeah.
But she didn't take part. She just watched.
Well, I think she helped skin him. And he'd go out and get as many frogs as he could and come back. She'd help skin those frogs. Well, that's not a hard job. I use a plow. Now, this brown boy up here used his thumbnail. He'd take a hatchet or a heavy knife, chop him right back of the forelegs, and that skin just pulls off the hind leg. You've seen frog legs, I reckon, eat them, haven't you?
No, sir.
You know you're in a frog leg? Man, I love them. It's just as white, the meat's almost as white as snow.
Yeah.
And Ms. Brown, this boy's wife, I think she can. I don't know what kind of paste she makes, but she dips them in that and then fries them. And they're delicious.
It's an egg batter.
Egg batter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's one thing that helps it taste, but it's really good.
I've never been brave enough to even try to taste one.
He'd get 4 or 5 mudfish up there on the lake and took them up there and skinned them, scaled them, whatever you call it. And she took those fish and boiled them and got all the bones out. Took onions and sage and salt and pepper and I don't know what all else. Put in there and made patties. And she fried those things and sent me 3 down here. In the general thing, we don't eat mudfish. But boy, that thing was good to eat. Good enough. The reason I get...
Oh, let me tell you, it's way yonder too late, Doug. I've got to ask you one thing. That guinea hog, I never heard of guinea hogs.
Well, about the best answer I can give you, they're a different breed of hog.
I see.
And they will, if you let them go long enough, get to be tops.
Yes.
180 to, well, I believe I killed one who weighed 250 pounds.
Yeah.
And but they'll stay fat on a little of nothing.
Yes.
And
but you never got a start.
No.
Chuck, didn't the old man Milton Bognife have guinea hogs?
He might have.
I'm sure that he did.
And your mother and Dora May bought some, but those didn't look like the guinea hogs I had.
Mr. Bognife said the reason he liked the guinea hogs was because they were easier to keep in the pasture. They wasn't as bad about breaking out
his other hogs. They had a little short nose, and the best I can remember, they weren't so bad about rooting.
Mm-hmm.
But
and they seemed to fatten.
Yeah, and they were more of a lard hog than they were a meat hog. They had lots of fat. And nowadays, they're trying to breed them up, you know, to where they can get more meat and less lard.
I remember Mr. Faulkner had those. They were what we call the blue hog.
And some of them are solid black, too.
Mm-hmm. The black
ones. I don't know where Dora May and your mother found those, but brought them in as all proud of them. Mr. Chid was kind of quick-tempered, and if he got mad with his milk cow, he'd fall off and kick her and say, so this poor male hog, he was out there one day, and the old man picked up a I don't know whether it was a light or not, anyway, it was solid, and he threw it at me and killed me just as dead as he could. Well, he didn't want to come to the house and tell it, and I knew I wasn't going to come and tell it. He said, Lord, what the hell am I going to do now? I said, well, the hog's dead. And I said, yeah, you don't want to butcher him and eat him, do you? He said, no, nobody wouldn't eat none of it. No, I'd be a pet, you know. He finally told him about it. Ms. Chitty raised me a cur puppy to be a big dog, and he is really a good cow dog. That was when we was killing all those cows up there in the hammock. And you'd go up there, and if you shot one and wounded him, that dog would stay with him. If we went through 100 other cows, when he come out on the other side, that dog would be with him. And I thought the world and all of him, and went up there one day. This old fellow was helping me. Every once in a while, he didn't want to shoot. And he shot this old cow, and she was fat. And he didn't kill her. Well, the dog was after him. He couldn't ride too well. He could ride good out in the open, but in the hammock, he wasn't too good. Finally, I told him, I said, Dave, give me a rifle, and I'll kill that cow. He says, all right, and I took it. And then the old cow wasn't running too fast. I run upside up. Just I put the rifle down and pull the trigger, that dog went to catch him. I put it right back as there. Just as pretty as you could do it if you'd been aiming at him. And I saw that he was dead. He never kicked three times. I finally run the old cow in a point and killed him. Dave come on over. He saw a lot of the dog too. He said, Tuck, where's your dog? I said, I killed him. He said, my God, why'd you kill him for? I said, do you think I'd have killed him if I could have helped it? And I hated to come home that night and tell him about that. Good Lord.
Well, now, where was that place that you went to get those three guinea hogs for $100?
At Romeo. It's about, I'm just guessing now, about 12 miles between, out from Dunnell and towards Williston, on that Williston-Dunnell road.
How come them to have them?
That's the kind of hog they raise.
Oh, I see.
And I guess because it's easy to keep, easy to fatten, and they don't go wild like other hogs. They stay pretty gentle.
But, well, how come you thought that they didn't want to let them go?
Well, she was there, had a truck through the slab, through the hole in it. Truck, just rubbing the hogs, petting them, you know.
Oh.
I said, Miss Williams, you don't want to sell the hogs? Oh, yes, we got to sell them.
She was just attached to them when she raised them.
Says, we just got to make a payment on that tractor.
Oh, he's the one that had the improvement.
Yeah. We had a practically a new truck and a new tractor, but his house didn't have nothing but wooden shutters for windows. And when you walked up to the house, you didn't have no steps. You stepped off the ground up in the house. And he had a pump I see parts, and he had a car shed across the road there. Really had a little old gasoline engine that he pumped. He had cattle and hog, and he had big troughs and one or two old iron kettles, and he pumped water for his hogs and cows, but they hadn't towed that water from the pump to the house. And when the gasoline engine was connected up to the pump, they pumped it by hand and towed it to the house in the hand. He was a...
Well, they just had got further with the improvements outside.
Yeah, than they had inside.
Why, you know, old Willie Chitty. You know Willie.
Yeah.
Willie over there, since I've known him, he lived over there. He improved everybody else's property. But he came over there and he didn't even have his own house sealed. And they lived several years in that. And he took off one time, I think. His wife, Sybil, you know, got after him.
And he finished it up.
Finished it up one well. It's a little hard to heat, you know.
Yeah. When I built that little house up there, we did have it sealed, but we like two or three doors.
Yeah.
In it. And by George, I've always heard if you start on a house and move in before you finish, you'll never finish. Well, I didn't finish that one. We lived right there in it.
Yeah.
And we had a long living room and the dining room and the kitchen. Well, the kitchen was sealed off from the other part. And there wasn't a door there, and there wasn't a door to the two bedrooms. But we didn't have, I had a fireplace about that long, and it had the oval in front instead of running straight across. I had an oval. Well, you could back up there, and you could warm up above your knees, so to speak. And if it's real cold, I'd put big oak logs on before we went to bed, and it practically kept the house warm all night. And all the front part and the sides were sealed, and it was sealed overhead.
I don't believe it was as cold back then. I can remember Tuck and my daddy starting that spring crops in January and February.
Yeah.
I planted spring beans the 12th day of February and got by.
I think the winters are much colder now than they used to be.
I never did.
You told about that moonshining place over towards Rochelle where they seasoned it for, aged it for a long time.
Well,
I haven't heard the tape, so I kept trying to get it in my mind, and I couldn't remember it, see. But I generally can't remember too much without playing the tape again. But that sounds like that sounds sort of living well, yeah, when you got somebody doing that.
Well, they never did get rich at it.
No.
And I've heard people say that ill-gotten gains didn't do you any good.
Yeah.
Well, that was illegal. I don't know whether they were doing something that a lot of the people wanted, and they were making a profit on it, which is the same thing if you had a job going out and working.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something else not right. I think it changed it a little bit now. But directly after I went in Masonic Lodge, B.D. Rogers wanted to go in, and he asked me for an application, and I asked Carol Emerson about it, and he said no. He said, you can get him an application, all right, but he can't go in because he sold intoxicating liquor. All right, John Gill was running that little restaurant across there in front of Buster Mound, what they call the log cabin, and he sold beer, but gosh, they took him in. And I think B.D.'s always felt kind of hard, and I believe he'd have made a good mason because B.D.'s as big hearted as he can be.
Was he?
If he likes it, he'll go all the way.
B.D. Rogers has been one of the best friends to Tuck that anyone could ever want.
Yeah.
And not only to him, but our entire family.
He don't make you buy whiskey. If you want a bottle, go in there and say, B.D., I want a bottle of whiskey, he'll give it to you and you pay him. Well, that's his way of making a living. And I don't... What is the difference in selling whiskey and beer? Some people can get as drunk, if you want to say that, on beer as a can of whiskey.
Yeah. Well, tell me, sort of line that out for me again, so I can get it in my mind. They had a nice place over there?
Who, the Rollinsons?
Yes.
It was a country home, just...
Nice like this?
No, it was one-story house, and they had about as nice a barn as they had at home. And old Mrs. Rollinson always get one or two milk cows.
You don't even have a barn.
No, I've got a shed down there. And later on, Clark, that was the youngest boy, he built a nice little home out there. And I think he and his wife separated. I don't know whether she still lives out there or not.
I think
what?
The wife is the one that built the home. I don't think it was Clark. I think Miss Whitehurst built it for her.
She was a niece to these. No, she was a Whitehurst one.
Yeah, she was.
Charlotte Whitehurst that had the dairy up here on the prairie.
Mm-hmm.
It was his girl. And was the aunt, the old, their aunt that died at. Old man Schaefer was the granddaddy, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever know an old man Schaefer in Gainesville?
Mm-mm.
Anyhow, the Clark's wife got some money from some of them when they died.
Well, I think Miss Whitehurst probably built that home for Aileen, because she still has the home. She and Clark are the boys, and Aileen still lives out
there. Well, Charlie was Johnny, little old filly, short and fat. But he always had something going. And I think, God, too, those boys, when they were real small, their old daddy was down there on a Zuba sharecropping. And they moved up to Gainesville.
They won't appreciate you telling that to them.
Why?
As wealthy as they are today.
Well, I don't imagine any of them will ever hear this tape.
Just about.
Will.
Let me tell you, we got to go. It's late. Up there at the Rollinsons.
Rollinsons.
What sort of establishment now did they have?
Willie, I don't know just how much land they had. They had a few cattle. And I told you he made syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew watermelons. And sweet potatoes. And
Mr. Rawson was a good farmer.
Yeah, and he never did have any modern machinery. He used mules and sows till later. Well, I don't think the old man ever did, but Clark, he finally got tractors and things.
Well, he had everything he needed.
Yeah.
And then he did this on the side.
Yeah. I don't believe the old man ever made too much moonshine. Those boys, they made it.
They did?
Yeah. Just to show you how it went. One time, I'd butchered a cow that morning, carried in the market, and this old big fellow over there, he's a Ford salesman. This is back in the Marley day. And he'd been on a spree, and he asked me, he said, you know where we can get some moonshine? I said, I think so. He said, well, if you take me where it is, says, I'll buy a gallon and give you half of it. Well, I thought that was a pretty good deal. So we got in the car and rode out there to Raymond's. He was living just this side of Dad's in a little house. And I went there and knocked on the door, and his wife came to the door. I asked her where Raymond was. Says he's going to game. And well, I knew the girl good. I said, Susie, I got a fella out here. Needs some whiskey, needs it bad. And I said, I know he's all right. I'm about to start him. She says, how much did you want? I said, we want a gallon. She said, well, go out there and look in that shed and get it. And I paid him. Went on out there, and there's 45 one-gallon jugs out there full of whiskey. Just sitting there. There wasn't no doors to the place. Just sitting there in the open. So I think Raymond had a lot of the niggers and some white people from Buffalo. They wouldn't fool around this place.
Yeah.
But he was just as nice as he could be.
Well, he
accidentally killed a fella down that, you know, where the railroad, where they got a turnaround down there, below McIntosh. What is that thing called? You used to have a little old short run out to Citra back in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they was back over there, and he'd been alligator hunting. And I don't know, somebody happened up there, and there's a crowd there. He got to talking, and he had this rifle out in the car. And there's one smart aleck there. He wanted to see the rifle and look at it. Well, Raymond most always kept it loaded, which was a mistake. I thought it was a general thing when we was hunting. We'd always leave our guns unloaded till we got to where we was going to hunt.
Oh.
And this fella went out there to the car, and Raymond said, "Now don't bother, it's loaded." The fella, they might have been drinking, I don't know. He reached in and got the car, and Raymond said, "No, don't fool it till I unload it." And the fella was stubborn and wouldn't do it, so Raymond tried to take it away from him. And meantime, the rifle went over and killed him. And that, of course, it was an accident, but they locked him up and had a trial about it, but he come clear.
Now, 45 1-gallon jugs out there in the smokehouse.
Yes, not in the smokehouse, just an old shed.
An old shed without any size.
Without it, no, it didn't have any door to it. It had a side next to the road, but you could walk in other places than the door. He just had it sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times he had people to take 10 or 15 or 20 gallons at a time, you know,
yeah.
Take it off and bootleg it out.
How much did he pay for it?
$9 a gallon. I imagine if he bought 5 or 6 gallons, he'd...
Marley days, would that be in the 30s?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let's see. The first Model T, my sister bought a 1917 T Model Ford. Didn't even have a start on it. Got out in front, cranked it. It had old car, it didn't have carburetor light, generator lights. And if you're driving in high gear, going slow, you didn't have no lights on it. But if you put it in low gear and your motor speeded up, you know, and after your generator, you had better lights. But they were fair enough. You could drive 20 miles an hour and you had fair lights. Then when they first started coming out with starters, we thought that was the thing. But when they put those starters on, they still had a crank for them in case that starter didn't work. Now you buy an automobile and most of the things you don't get is a starter. Something goes wrong, you got to either get another battery or get somebody to start it for you.